Realm, the Battleground. My name is LHS, and today we have a very special, near dear friend of the show as our guest host. We have Mr. Alpha Jackal. Jackal, how are you doing?
I am very well. Yourself?
I am doing all right. Today marked the first episode of Around the Battleground for 2020. I guess this is season two, episode one of Around the Battleground. Thanks to everybody for tuning in. We've got a great big show today. Today was season seven patch notes. So not exactly esports, but not exactly not esports as well, because these are all changes that are going to be impacting the rest of the year and sets the tone for how competitive is going to be played. And I've got a lot of ideas based off of how I believe that's going to shake out. So, Jackal, did you end up watching the entire show, or did you, like many of the other smart people in the room, did you just read patch notes?
I did both. I read patches and I also watched the entire show, just in case they gave some insight to some of the changes that I didn't do on the notes.
Wow, what a teacher's pet you are! There were a few things that I was wondering about, and they might have answered that, but I just could not have bothered waiting that entire amount of time to sit through to wait for one item. So I might go back through and watch a VOD or something to see if they do touch it, or maybe you caught it for me. But there's a lot to get through. We're not going to talk about skins. That's not what we do here. We don't care about that. That's for the casual shows. We want to focus on the item changes and everything like that. So let's just start at the top. I don't want to talk about bug fixes because that's, hit or miss, whatever those are. Let's talk about, what's the first thing? Conquest of game mode changes. All right, so looking at patch notes we have, they've added a new objective in the jungle shrine. The shrine gains a stack for every three jungle camp monsters your team kills, up to seven stacks. Attacking the shrine consumes one stack and rewards each player on your team with five gold. Three quick basic attacks will clear the shrine of all stacks. Each team's shrine cannot be attacked by enemy players, and clearing camps in the enemy jungle will contribute towards your shrine stacks, but at half the rate. The big theme for Season 7, and you could already see it start here, is they don't want you going into the enemy side of the map as a jungler or as anybody else. Am I wrong in thinking that's the stupidest fucking design decision in the world for them to focus on?
I don't think so, considering throughout Smite's history, it's always just come back to an invade meta every single time. No matter how much they do to try and prevent it, it will always go back to an invade meta. You saw the changes last season, even midway through the season, where they reduced the amount of gold you got from taking a camp in the enemy side of the jungle. That didn't really fix the issue. That didn't really stop people from invading, because the whole thing was going to be, it's not you taking the experience from yourself, it's you denying the enemy experience. It's you denying them that farm, that gold, that extra, extra farm on the map. And unless they, I'm not a game designer myself. I don't know if there is a solution to that sort of issue. But with this jungle camp thing they've added, they might find themselves in a situation where they could potentially reduce some of the bleeding effect that comes from taking the enemy jungle. Because the way it works on the patch note show is for every three camp monsters killed, you gain a stack into the pot. But if you kill things in the enemy jungle, that counts to half stacks. So you need to kill six monsters in the enemy jungle for it to be successful, rather than the three. I think if they want to truly combat the invade meta and reduce the bleed coming out from stuff getting invaded, what they need to happen is, right, you've successfully invaded, you've denied them that experience, you denied them that gold, that's good, but you've cleared stuff in their jungle, so they're going to get a stack onto their pot. Just to help try and alleviate the bleeding and not make the invade a complete, one-sided thing of, all right, they got the invade, they got absolutely everything, and then also double jeopardy, you can't get anything yourself.
But that's never the point of the invade meta, and it's the only thing in Smite that we have like other MOBAs. So other MOBAs, you can deny the enemy team farm. Like I think Dota does it really well, where you can last hit your own minions, so you take away them getting XP in those cases. And then obviously League is very much about, you know, the last hitting for farm and everything. There's not the same type of mechanics in Smite in the long run. I mean, last hitting when you're freezing wave is like the only time you ever do that, right? And so going into the enemy jungle, denying them farm, that's what it's all about. It's not about your support going into the enemy jungle and getting fat off of the XP and gold that they're stealing away from those camps. It's about denying that jungler that XP and gold and rotating around the map. So effectively, you're targeting those things. You're implementing things into the jungle to prevent people from doing that, but you're not addressing the reason why they're doing it. They're still going to do it to deny you of that farm, even if they're not getting anything of it. That was the whole point of putting the support in there. If your support's four levels behind, who cares? Especially with the catch-up mechanic now, your support is still going to be able to ramp up.
It doesn't matter if your support's behind four levels if you've also put their jungler behind three, because that's the trade-off, which was always there. If you can put their jungler behind and make them less impactful, if your support's behind, who cares? You have a fed jungler just going around terrorizing the map.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It feels like too much hand-holding. I know people don't like the invade metas. I understand that. But that's just a part of, like, any competitive game, I feel like. Like, the way you get rid of that is to make, honestly, at this point, the map has to be bigger. That's the only way that you can prevent invades. Because the map right now is too intimate. There's not enough to do. There's not enough to spread you out across the map. Your support can just go do, and you can be down, quote unquote, down a player who's just, you know, fucking off, like just wanking, faffing about with the enemy jungler, right, the entire time. And then you can't punish that. There's no way to do it. And so they're targeting all these changes, and it just it's a feels bad thing at a certain point. I don't like mechanics where, like, oh yeah, you can go kill the thing that's essentially the same thing as the other thing you were killing on your side of the map. It's just not on your side of the map. And so you're being punished for having good rotations and good map awareness to being able to go into the other side of the map. That feels really bad if you're a good player.
The thing is, you're not punished for doing it still. You're still rewarded for doing it because you still get some gold. You still get some experience. You still put them a bit behind. It's just not as egregious as it was before. And to go back to your point about making the map bigger, I think what they've done on the duo side of the map, on the Gold Fury side of the map, is they've actually made it more difficult to invade onto that rep buff. They made it more risky to invade onto the rep buff with the changes which they've done to mid harpies. So for those of you who haven't watched the patch notes show or seen the updates to the Conquest map, the Fire Giant side mid harpies is still the same, but the Gold Fury side mid harpies, they've been split into two separate camps with a wall down the center. So each mid lane has their own, well, each map side has their own sides of the mid harpies, and those mid harpies are now baby harpies rather than elder harpies, so they're a lot easier to kill. Worth a bit less, but that's what you get for having like a safe, secured bit of jungle farm for the mid laner. And so that path through those mid harpies is no longer there. That's blocked off by a wall, which means it's more difficult for junglers to make that rotation, mid laners to make that rotation through the mid harpies to go for the red buff. It's a lot more difficult to invade onto that buff now.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that it is in practice that much harder. All that it's going to do is make you prioritize junglers with leaps through walls and everything. Like, Kamazotz is going to be a first pick, first ban jungler. Because his clear, right now, what he's able to do.
I think right now he's the first pick, first ban solo laner with just the changes to his kit that he currently has. And going into next season, sustain's a bit more important, being able to, like, you're able to box more effectively in terms of there's more killability, and so those gods with higher DPS and innate sustain in their kit are going to be rewarded. Cameron Sots is going to be a top pick going into Season 7 immediately.
Yeah, we've got that. I think I immediately think of a Wheelix who can go through the wall. Like that, what we're going to see, and I already see it, is you're going to see jungles who can go clear their camp, or what they do is you blink through the wall, clear the camp, leap back to safety, and clear your own camp. That's how I see it going down. And that then essentially all of your invade mana has been for naught, and you've actually perpetuated it more by, like, if you do not pick, if you don't have a god with a leap through a wall, you're never going to get a mid camp on that side of the map. And then you're going to lose pressure there. And then you're going to lose the 3v3 in mid. And then you're going to get behind. And that's where the snowball is going to come from, is that the jungle position. They did so much to prop up junglers this season. It's going to be a really interesting change to see how people react to it. And, like, you know, I've spent all of, what, 10 minutes looking at the map changes and just item changes from the names. Like, oh, that's exactly what's going to happen. That's where you're going to see all of your big snowball come from, is right there. But we've got a lot to cover. We'll move on. You know, you already talked about the, they're adding more camps. They're adding a camp next to dual lane with the harpies. Good. They also increased, how you split XP and stuff, right? They increased that from, what, 20 to 25%, if I remember correctly. So is going to make them, going to make people split a little bit more efficiently. They removed Gold Fury from the spawn pool after 20 minutes. Cool, I guess. I don't know. Like, I still feel like having Gold Fury after 20 minutes can be beneficial. Like, that feels like a really arbitrary thing.
I think by that point, Gold Fury just becomes more about the side effects from the other two Gold Furies rather than the gold itself. Up until about the 20-minute mark, you do want to get Gold Fury for the gold. You want to get it because it's a nice boost to your early-game build, can help you snowball like early to mid-game portion of the game. But after the 20-minute mark, when it starts to get more towards that late game, you want those secondary effects. You want to be able to be looking towards the Fire Giant. You want to be able to look in towards pushing down Phoenixes. That Fire Giant thing especially, both of those alternate Gold Furies will help with. In the Oni Fury, the one that gives you the the pseudo Fire Waves, somebody has to go and defend over onto the other side of the map, just clear out that wave real quick. That could give you an advantage on that Fire Giant fight. And then obviously the Primal Fury giving you the extra clear speed. That also helps. And by taking that Gold Fury out of the pool from the 20-minute mark onwards, it's just going to try and accelerate the late game, because what usually happens at the start of a season is games are very cautious, they're very slow, they go on quite long. And if you haven't got the changes they've done this season, trying to stop that invade meta, trying to stop the snowball, that's going to be like a double whammy effect again. So you can see games going 50 minutes an hour very naturally at the beginning of Season 7. By taking that Gold Fury out of the rotation, that could stifle it and that could slow it back down to about 45-minute games to begin with.
Yeah, okay, I get it, but I don't know. It just feels weird. I would have liked to have seen it been like an enhanced Gold Fury or something like that. Like, you know, we see that from the Fire Giant. Why not also mimic that on the other side and make it, instead of just saying, oh, this is useless, we can do nothing with it. Okay, do something with it then. I don't know. I guess they technically do, by splitting it off into the Mayan and the Oni. Oh, I'm sure. The Primal and the Oni, not the Mayan. All right. But whatever. I guess it's largely just going to see more active effects onto the battlefield, which, cool. You know, you have those mechanics in place. Why not see them more? Yeah. XP split bonus increased from 20 to 25%. We already talked about. What do you make of the adjusted jungle camp spawn delays? So we have Speed and Void starting at 20 seconds, and then damage, mana, and back harpies at 30, with mid harpies at 35.
I think The two I want to talk about is Speed and Void. Speed might be a bit too safe to go into Invadon, given how far back in the jungle it is. We said that at the beginning of season six, and then look what happened. People still kept on trying to evade onto it. But I do think that given it's 20 seconds rather than 25 or 23 as it was before, you're just going to give a bit too much time for the jungler and mid laner to clear it out before, you know, you can get there and evade properly and then go back to your own jungle. But the Void Harpy side, that's boarding at 20 seconds. There's a reason that it went down to 30 seconds when the waves met. There's a reason it went down to that point, or even 35 seconds. And that was because aggressive dual lanes were the prime picks of dual lane. Because you just evaded onto their buff at the beginning of the game. If you had the best level one fight, there was nothing the enemy team could do but go and clear wave. Now you're giving that to the dual lane at 20 seconds. The aggressive dual lane can go clear that buff. Go back into lane, most likely still get there just before minions meet, beat you in clear, beat you in terms of their own fight ability, go clear their purple buff, come back, they have two purple buffs, are level two, you're still level one, and you're then instantly behind. I don't like it being on 20 seconds if there's no safeguard to stop an aggressive dual lane just walking in and taking it.
Mm-hmm. It, like I said, like they were targeting the invade meta and everything like that, and I think they're only like they're not going to stop it again. I really just think at this point there's not enough to do. The map's not big enough. You look at I'm looking at these timers as like as a jungler, and I'm like, okay, what am I going to be doing with my life? Like, I'm going to clear all of my stuff, because they buffed jungle clear at a base level. Like, you clear faster as a jungle now with some of these changes. And so, like, what is your jungler going to be doing? He's going to clear his buffs, and then if you clear faster, they're just changing the point of where the snowball happens. And I really feel like there's going to be a lot of snowball that comes out of the jungle just being able to clear camps super fast, go steal a buff somewhere that is going to matter to them, and then they're going to be ahead and rotate faster than you, and they're going to get a kill somewhere. And then it's going to be like, I'm already seeing problems with how the meta is going to develop in that regards. And I don't know that any of these changes are really effectively going to move the needle in the way that Hyrez was wanting them to. We'll have to see. PTS still has yet to come. So maybe we'll see. One of the things, okay, next up, they decreased the gold reward from towers 100 to 75 and 300 to 250. That was one thing I kind of noticed across the board, is it feels like they are lowering the amount of gold and XP you're getting per minute. Am I crazy for feeling that, or do you also feel the same?
What they did say during the patch note show is that they've taken it away from the towers and given it to the jungle camps and given it to the gold that you can get around the map in itself. So they're trying to reduce the snowball rather than front loading it onto these towers, because you already gain a positional and territorial advantage by taking the towers. Yes, you still get that some gold, you still get some reward of it, you still get that territorial position advantage, but it's no longer as drastic. You know, if one lane is losing horribly, it's no longer going to affect the entire map as drastically as it did before, is the whole reasoning behind it. If they're able to push that advantage into the jungle and start to, again, go onto those invades, start to take away and strip away buffs, then it's going to be just as effective as if it was this season just taking that tower. So you have to work a bit more to get that same snowball, is their whole idea with it.
Okay, well, I can see that. We'll see what happens. I mean, next thing they have up, adjust the totem of Ku gold from 25 to 20, right? And I mean, I guess they scale the MP5, which is kind of cool, but again, I don't know if that's really gonna do anything. Jungle buff changes. This will be pretty impactful. Blue buff removed flat 20 MP5 and now gray grants plus 2 MP5 per 10% of missing mana. How impactful is this going to be for solo lane?
Quite impactful, especially to those gods that require a lot of mana to spam their abilities and bully in lane. I am talking about King Arthur just before he gets his Gladiator Shield online. He can struggle a bit with mana, especially if he's played very spammily, very aggressively, which mm-hmm. you can't really do anyway, given the changes that they're making up to health potion, the health chalice, which we might get into later. You know, the gods that really spam their abilities and mana intensive, Hercules especially, he's going to mm-hmm. really struggle with this change. And he's going to be super reliant on trying to get the Totem of Ku. And again, going on to Totem of Ku changes, I don't believe it's going to be a good thing for the game, because it's already loaded onto the first one or two Totem of Ku's, the ones you want to get, and after that, it's irrelevant. Who cares? Your mid lane has finally got some MP5 online, they can survive in lane. You got your blue buff and glad shield, and you know, you're unkillable at this point in solo lane. Who cares? And the Totem of Ku changes don't change that. The blue buff changes force a more tactical approach into the solo lane rather than just a button mashing fest where no one dies. So it's interesting to see how the solo lane changes do mesh well together rather than looking at them as individual changes.
Very well said. I'm excited to see what that'll offer. I know one of the things that they were trying to move into was just like solo laners moving back to solo island and them actually being able to kill each other. So
yeah,
do you think that this moves the needle on that and makes, like, are we going to see season 3 slap fights again?
I think if you look at it as just a blue buff change, I can say no if that was the only change made. If you're looking at all the changes together, as if to say, all right, you know, glad shield doesn't heal as much if you hit multiple gods, Totem of Ku is a bit more scaly, blue buff changes reduce that, health chalice and health potions don't stack on towards each other as well, some new items coming into the game, some item changes as well, especially to mystical mail, that's going to be a big one for the solo laners, going down to 2450, I think it is, losing a tiny bit of health and trade-off. Big buff to that item, in my opinion, but we can get into that again a bit later. Mm-hmm. You have a look at the changes together, and solo laners are going to be a bit more wary of their positioning, a bit more wary of their damage taken, damage dealt, and it's no longer just, I'm going to fight you because I have health chalice and health potions and you don't.
All right. Moving on to the next buff is the red buff. Remove 5% power bonus versus enemy gods. Thank God. I don't think anybody but mid laners will complain about that.
It was
yellow.
Just too much of a disparity. Like, red buff is too much of a disparity if you had it and your enemy dimmed, or vice versa. It just became impossible to fight them, and now it should be a lot more easier.
Speed adds 10% crowd control reduction. That seems a bit out of left field and not necessary.
I was really taken aback when they put this change in, because, like you said, it feels out of left field. Feels like, whoa, what the hell is this change? Where did this come from? I think it's just to try and encourage junglers to be more aggressive and be less afraid of getting CC'd. Because, you know, in the early game, you do see junglers play it very safe, very passively, and only go in when they've got, like, a guaranteed kill, irrespective of having that CC or not. And maybe as well with this, junglers will feel less of a need to go for beads and go more towards blink, go towards more aggressive, risky plays. Maybe they're just trying to force that out to, again, stifle this potential of games going on indefinitely early in the season.
Okay. Next up is purple buff. Removed +2 protections reduction per enemy god within the aura radius. Removed 5 additional protections reduction. Added 10% attack speed. They really just kind of went all in and said, fuck Guardians this patch.
I mean, for those who like didn't really pay attention to the changes they made to purple buff midway through the season, or even like the beginning of the season, purple buff was OP. It was the strongest buff on the map outside of red buff by a country mile. There was nothing that beat red buff with that extra 5% against gods, but now that's gone. Mm-hmm. Like, it's anybody's ballgame. But void buff was really, really strong. And the fact that the effects stacked, if you had multiple of them, meant that the invade onto the purple buff was really, really impactful in the first two spawns of the purple buff in the early game. Because if you had your hunter and your guardian on it back when dual lanes was a thing, when this buff was before it was changed, it was just impossible to deal with. You just took too much damage because they were doing true damage to you. That still rang true towards the late game team fights. It actually felt like the support had a buff that they almost needed to have to help take down the impossible to kill tankier targets. But now it's both a guardian and a hunter buff in some sense, in the fact that yes, the attack speed is something that the hunters want, but it still provides a flat protection reduction, which the guardians are going to want because they're the ones that are going to be there in the shake of things in the middle of everybody to provide that aura reduction.
Okay. It'll be interesting to see how it all culminates together. I agree with you. I think most of the time when I was playing solo, right, I would go grab the purple buff once the game went on later because that was just way more valuable for me and you could do a lot more damage. It feels like they are trying to put the focus back onto the duo lane and the jungler. And so that in and of itself is going to really shake up how the meta is formed, especially now that they've boosted XP splitting to that 25% mark. I think you're going to see your support. I mean, your support is either going to go all in on invade and they're never going to see anybody, or they're going to be very tied to the hip to somebody. One of the other changes that we're going to see is to Guardian's Blessing, that they remove the MP5, they remove the plus 7 health and mana restore per minion assisted, and now it provides 7 HP5 and 7 MP5 while within 60 feet of an ally god, and it lasts for 10 seconds and refreshes duration when near an ally god. So, Guardian's Blessing becomes only viable if, Guardian's Blessing is only on Guardians. You're not going to see Guardian's Blessing solo anymore. That's just not a thing. And you're going to see, they're trying to really railroad the duo lane. And let me get your opinion on that. Do you think it is a smart idea to take away the flexibility of Smite and the roles and force it into this more rigid, you have to be 2v2 in the duo lane?
I don't think that they're not getting rid of the flexibility entirely. They're just trying to say that what I believe these changes are trying to do is they're going to the new players and players that don't really understand Smite at a high level, a clear direction to go into, one where you can't really go wrong if you play it. So that they're giving like this blueprint of, okay, if you're a jungler, you should be over on this side of the map more often because you have to clear this, you have to clear that, you have to clear that. And you can sort of get an idea of where you need to go. With Guardian's Blessing, if you're the support, you pick that up and you say, oh, you have to be around people to get this aura buff. I'm going to want aura buff to get this HP5 and MP5 to sustain myself. Right, I'm going to go spend some time with my duo lane partner because that just makes sense. That's intuitive to me now. It almost feels like they are hand-holding in the early game in terms of people's idea about how to play Conquest. And I don't mind that at all, because they still leave the door open for saying, right, you can still get Guardian's Blessing, you can still get it. You won't get the rewards in terms of the sustain for it until you like go hang out with somebody else, but you can still stack it up. You can still be, you can still get that extra farm with it when it's evolved. You can still go ahead and play aggressive because we're not stopping you from doing that entirely. We're still allowing you to do that. You're just not going to get as rewarded for it. You're going to have to play better in order to substantiate that loss that we are now taking away from you.
Okay. Again, we won't know until we see PTS really evolve. Next up with Assassin's Blessing, increased damage versus jungle monsters from 35% to 40%. That's big, especially with the timers and everything. Jungles are going to be clearing really fast to get, like, jungles are going to be everywhere early game. And yeah, I don't know that that's like, I don't like that design decision. I would rather our jungler be in the jungle, doing what his name says, right? Instead of being right now, what it feels like your jungle is going to go clear everything in the jungle and then go be in a lane and then go and like will mostly exist in a lane somewhere because they're going to clear jungle camps so freaking quickly.
Maybe that's the whole thing, is that they don't. One of the big complaints was that it got to the point where junglers weren't necessarily needed. You saw there was even a part of season six, where Assassin's Blessing wasn't necessary whatsoever, because junglers were starting tier two or sometimes even tier three boots. Shout outs to Mercury and Thanatos for really pushing this, because they just had good sustain, good clear on the jungle, even without the Assassin's Blessing. By making it a bit more tanky and making it so you almost have to have Assassin's Blessing to clear it in the early game, again, they're giving the jungler a clear direction. They're giving, you know, everybody a clear idea of the fact that, right, I'm the solo laner. I can't clear this blue buff until I get, you know, a few levels on my abilities, until I have a bit of tankiness online, or until I got my first item. I'm going to need my jungler's help to begin with. It also does mean that it's more difficult to invade in a 1v1 situation, because it's going to take them a bit more time to do so. They're going to have that trade-off of not being in lane to get the extra farm from the next wave. So I like the fact that jungle is a bit more tanky. I like the fact that you're almost required to have Assassin's Blessing in the early game to take down the camps, because at that point, it does make it more difficult for, you know, these sort of janky starts where they're starting on the enemy red buff, for example, on the support of the solo laner to come about. Because those sort of starts, they're very wacky, very difficult to pull off, and people see it in the Pro League once. It works out once because that was the strategy for that game, because it's a surprise strategy. They try it again in ranked over and over again, fails over and over again. It just comes a big whole frustration point to the fact that they're doing this because they saw it in the Pro League and it doesn't work for them.
Okay. I don't know. It feels like there's a lot of railroaded decisions here for season seven. And like, it's hard because I think there's a lot of good changes, but then there's some stuff where it's like, I see what you're trying to do maybe, but I don't agree with it. I don't know. Maybe I'll change my mind once I get my hands on it and I actually see it and feel it, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Next up, we got our last, I guess not our last. Well, yeah, our last relic change. We've got the new Vision Ward. This is a new relic that players start with in their second relic slot. At level 12, you can replace this relic with any relic for no cost. Wards placed have a 1 minute duration, and it's got a 120 second cooldown. These wards provide no gold reward. Players can teleport to these wards, and wards placed count towards the normal ward limit. And replacing Vision Shard while it's on cooldown will share the cooldown with the new relic. Cool. People have no excuse to ward, to not ward in the early game. I really like this change. I feel like you should maybe just have wards. Maybe, I don't know, like that. Maybe you should just always have wards, and then you should buy sentry wards. I don't know. I like this change. I think everybody kind of likes this change at a high level. What do you think?
I think it's a great change. I can't see anything wrong with it. The only thing I can even think of is maybe giving the option to, instead of getting a second relic, upgrade it. So it then places a regular ward or something and still has that 120 second cooldown, so you're still forced to buy into some wards.
I would love to see a sentry. I think that's with Scout. I would have loved to have seen that. Like, you turn it into a sentry ward or something along those lines. Make it a beefed up ward.
And then you lose your second relic slot for it, so it's a big trade-off. But then again, that's the only thing I can think of. But overall, great change for the game. Great change to, again, get people more used to doing the correct things in Conquest, which is what I feel the whole point of Season 7 has been, is to get people, you know, I'm going to take that phrase of shoehorning them into, like, the correct, air quotes, correct way of doing things in Conquest.
Right. Big agree. Consumables. We got Hand of the Gods has come back as a consumable item. 100 gold. This consumable deals 150 true damage around you. This only affects monsters on your side of the jungle, and you can only carry one at a time. I love that they're bringing Hog back. I love that. I hate its execution. Again, they want to get rid of invade meta. They want to make it so you can secure your own camps, right? When you've got a Hercules running at you or whatever. But it's also just like, it's babying mechanics. And I hate that. I don't want you to baby me or hold my hand to that extent. If you want to make it so it's like a nerf type thing, make it. What I would have loved to have seen is it does half damage to enemy camps. Instead of the 152 damage, it does like 70, 75. And I think that would have been it. Like, you're still required to time it because you know that they're going to have a hog probably, or if you have the hog, whatever. I would like that more because then you hog it, and if you're the Herc, then you've still got like your one to get away or one to start doing more damage or anything like that. Like, and it's still a skill-based mechanic because you're having to time it. I don't know. Am I just too attached to the idea of things being hard sometimes?
I think you're a bit sadistic, yeah.
I'm a support main. I guess I should say that. So the invade meta is like the most fun I've had in years.
Fair enough.
All right. I just... Why? This feels... I just don't like it. Potion of Power has another rework. It now gives you 70 physical... Well, I guess it's they did the magical and the physical are now one thing. It gives you 70 magical power, 40 physical power, 10% cooldown, and 5-minute duration or until killed. That's fine. Whatever. Chalice of Healing. No longer stacks with potions. We talked about that a little bit earlier in regards to Soul Lane. Yeah. You can now no longer be basically dead, pop a Chalice of Healing and pop a healing potion and then be at full health. Same thing with Chalice of Mana and Mana Potions. That's going to be really big for, I feel like, supports and solos in particular. At the end of the season, we did see a lot of supports starting to go. Basically everybody was buying Chalice and Pots in those two roles because you could get a ton of health back. You could get poked out for free, basically, and have no consequences. So I think there's going to be a lot more deaths in that regard. Everybody is not going to be able to be a roar. You're going to have actual skill in order to be a roar these days.
Yeah.
Neutral items. You hit it up top. The Mystical Mail, decreased cost from 2,700 to 2,450, and decreased health from 300 to 200. You said that's going to be a big deal.
Yeah, I initial thoughts, but second I saw this, I think it is going to be a big deal. I think you are going to see decide to make a return in your aggressive solo lane matchups, especially if you have your physical solo lane or physical jungler. Your position solo lane is going to itemize into physical defense. That extra bit of magical pulsing damage could come back to, you know, hurt them a bit more. And if, for being only 2450 gold, if you don't need the CDR and you don't need the sustain coming out from Gladiator Shield or Berserker Shield, and then again, you don't need a CDR coming out from Respect of Valor, this is then going to be the go-to item. Is that Mystical Mail. And it could also help out those gods with slightly substandard clear. You want to try and contest and want to try and, you know, stop the bullying coming out from an enemy solo laner. This item will be seeing some play. Whether it's going to be seeing a lot of play or not, I'm going to have to see, you know, how it feels on the PTS.
Okay. Excited to see if that item does make a comeback. Next up, we have Witchblade. Increased health from 200 to 250. It does feel like there's a lot more health on the battlefield in this season. Wondering how that's going to actively play out. Shogun's Kasari gets attack speed aura from 20 to 25%. That just makes Fafnir better. I wonder if we'll see him a bunch more. We're going to do some rapid fire here until we get to some more meat and potatoes of everything.
Yeah,
Sovereignty increased.
I see meat and potatoes coming up.
Yeah, increased HP 5 from 25 to 35. I feel like that's big. I think we're going to see a lot more Sovereignty come back. I think that change alone is huge, and we're going to see that built on basically every support. Same thing with Heartward Amulet going from 20 to 30 MP5. That's just really big for a support player.
There we go.
Dynasty Plate Helm will now have a tier 3 counterpart, the Tyrannical Plate Helm. We have updated the cost and stats to better match. So cost decreased from 1,700 to 1,400. Magical power decreased from 50 to 40. Physical protections remain at 30. Added 50 health and removed 10 magical penetration.
This item is dumb, and if it stays at 1,400 gold by the time patch launches, the designers are dumb.
Why is this item done, Alpha Jackal?
Because you can buy it immediately out of base with one of each potion and be basically unkillable in the mid lane because you have 30 protections and 50 extra health, whilst also having a whole load of magical power in 40 magical power this item is dumb. If it stays at 40 gold, stays at 1,400 gold, buy it if you're a mid laner.
Kabrakan immediately becomes first pick, first ban terrorist of Smite at this level.
Guardian solo laners say hi. I forgot about those as well.
Yeah, it's gonna be stupid. They need to change this item.
If they make it 1,500 gold, then at least there's a trade-off for buying it. You then have no potions, so if you misstep, if you get ganked early on, you're then forced back. You know, you then lose things. But 1,400 gold, you get potions, you can save yourself from one misplay. That's... No, this item's dumb. There's, you know, no. Pyra's no.
Yeah, and if you think the Isoplate Helm is dumb, it's big boy father. Tyrannical Plate Helm. Costs 2,400 gold. 85 magical power. 40 physical protections. 100 health. 20% CCR. Crowd control reduction. And it's passive.
Okay, just before we get into the passive, even without a passive, that gold cost for the item, for the stats it gives, is still really good.
Yeah, very, very good. But it's passive.
But the passive.
If there are ally minions around you, they gain 20% max HP and 20% attack speed. Let's just stop there. Let's just stop there in this theoretical world. Say we're 30 minutes into the game and my team just got Oni Fury. And say we are... And it's a fire wave. And we send our support man into that lane with those minions and he marches down. A support with a minion wave can then probably solo a Titan. That's
so dumb.
Fucking dumb. And that's not even the whole passive. The rest of the passive reads, whenever an ally minion dies around you, you gain 5 power per stack up to 6, and it lasts for 15 seconds. So yeah, we just said it'd be great on a support. Last season, with the rise of the magical ADC, what item did we see a bunch of magical ADCs build to go up against hunters? Dynasty Plate Helm. What is Dynasty Plate Helm now built into? Tyrannical Plate Helm. If you go up against, say you go up against Zenith, and they one-shot clear the wave, and you have this item, you all of a sudden have 30 power swing to you. You one-shot their wave, and then you have 15 seconds to clear their wave and box/kill the enemy hunter. This is fucking broken on aggressive supports. Solo guardians, Baron solo might be broken with this. I don't fucking know. And then mage ADC's broken. This item is stupid.
I'm thinking of what if I put this on hell? So not only do they attack faster of Mal Max HP, but I'm then healing them up some more.
Good lord. Yeah,
so that's super how do you, we were talking
if you
about.
Have minions, if you're a hell ADC or hell anything, and somebody leaves your lane, you just get tower for free.
I'm also thinking of those super minions we theorized earlier, the fire only waves with the hell healing them up as well. Say goodbye to all your structures. You ain't killing that. That's gone.
Oh my god, hell with that. This item is broken.
Right now, with the way it says in patch notes, to go from tier 2 to tier 3 of that item, that is 1,000 gold only. That needs to change to like 1,300 gold immediately. Then that item needs to go up by 300 gold at minimum if they're going to keep it in the game with the way it is. That's just my opinion on it.
It's got it. This is like a 3,000 gold item with all the stuff it does. It just does too much.
With the way it's costed right now, they're trying to gear it as a early/early mid game item. 2,400 gold's not too much of an investment to do in the early and mid game, especially if you're in the solo lane where you could be seeing this item on those magical solo laners. If I'm a warrior in a solo, if I'm someone like an Osiris who clears primarily with their basic attacks, and I see that the enemy solo laner's got this, I don't want to fight them anymore. I don't want to go up and wave anymore. And there's nothing more I can do apart from just try and hit them and kill the source of this demon buff which they've got on the minions.
Who thought this item was a good idea?
I don't know. I like that they're trying to do stuff with the minions again. Motivate was, you know, an ancient thing from Smite. It was one of the first, you know, things that got removed from the game because it was so broken. And this is like a dumbed down, you know, lesser version of it because it's no longer like a permanent buff. You have to be around the minions for it to work, and it's no longer tied to a relic, and you don't turn people with the, you don't turn their minions on them, you know. So it's more of a dumbed down version of it. But again, you have to cost it accordingly. I hope that the PTS cycle that they've got is an extended one, which it usually is in the beginning of a new season, because items like this, you can do all the testing you want internally. It's when it gets into the hands of the general public, it's when it gets into the hands of, you know, the high-level theory crafters, the ones that are playing this game professionally as well. With all the SPL teams almost being announced, there's only one left to announce. I think it's Space Station that still hasn't announced. With all those SPL teams, you know, they're going to be playing a practice and scrimming on the PTS when it comes out. They're going to find ways to break the game immediately, and this item's going to be top of their list.
Yeah, 100%. There's no way this item survives. Moving on. There's still so much to talk about. Reworked Stone of Fall. Cost increase from 2,300 to 2,600. Increased magic power from 70 to 100. That's important. Magic protection remains at 40. Cooldown reduction remains at 10. New passive. You gain 20% of the magic protections of the nearby allied god with the highest magic protections within 70 feet.
Okay, so let's say it's a support. They're going to have around 200 magical protections. You take 20% of that. It's 40, so it goes from 40 to 80 magical protections. If you want any magical protections, you can get a pestilence. If you want a high magical power item with some protections on it, this is going to be the way to go because Voidstone is sort of a bit iffy these days, and there's no really other choice. I like it. I think it fits a certain niche now, in terms of, you know, you still have some magical protections. You gain a bit more if you're around your support in the fight. Rewards the support for staying around you and vice versa. Don't think it's going to be too popular. We'll have to see.
Maybe. We'll see. The next item, however, broken. Ring. How do they pronounce it? Is this Hecate?
Hecate, yeah.
Hecate. Ring of Hecate. Cost 2,600. 80 magical power. 20% attack speed. 12% lifesteal. And it's passive. Hitting enemy gods with basic attacks gives you one stack of 2% lifesteal. Stacks up to 5 times stacks. Lasts 5 seconds. So we have a ring that now gives lifesteal. You know what my immediate thought of this was? My immediate thought. It wasn't Freya. My immediate thought was Poseidon. We already saw a lot of Poseidon last season. We saw a couple different variations of Poseidon, one of which was Poseidon ADC. The more fun and the more, I think, now viable option than it was last year, even though it was viable last year, don't at me, is Jungle Poseidon. Ring of Hecate makes Jungle Poseidon fucking broken. Because it gives him access to lifesteal and still all of the attack speed and movement speed in the world. And power. And they added pin to fucking everything. Poseidon Jungle is gonna come zooming his ass through the jungle, cracking you, whirlpool you, and just murder you. This is dumb. They have completely given up to our mage overlords in season 7. So not only Poseidon, sure, within jungle, Poseidon in the ADC role, also broken with this. Any mage ADC is now so overpowered that hunters may as well not exist.
I'm thinking you might still not see this item as much as you're expecting, simply because Bancroft's talent is still the superior item. You gain a whole load more magical power for it. Your lifesteal is still exuberantly good with it. I don't know. I also think for 2,600 gold, it does give you everything you want as a magical ADC. Don't get me wrong. And it's crazy that this item is actually in the game now, and it will see play. But for gods that want to use their basic attacks to just crunch people, rather than wanting to like box out or anything, they're still going to go for Bancroft's talent, I feel. Because just how much power that item gives.
But this one gives
life. And also the fact that tier 1 and tier 2 of Bancroft's talent have lifesteal on it, whilst this one doesn't. So you gain access to lifesteal earlier, which means that your sustain in the early, like very early game, is better with going for the Bancroft's rush over the Ring of Hecate rush. That's just my thoughts on it right now. I could be completely wrong.
I don't know, man. This ring seems stupid. Speaking of stupid things, Charons? I don't know.
I think it's Charon.
Charon's coin. Cost 2,700. 80 magical power. 20% magical penetration. 20 MP5. Already great item. Passive. On God kill or assist, a coin is flipped. You gain a stack of 7 HP 5 if it's heads, and if it's tails, you gain a stack of 2% movement speed. Each effect can stack up to 4 times, and at 8 stack, this item evolves. You also gain 1 gold. That's really weirdly worded. Evolution. On God kill or assist, a coin is flipped. If heads, you gain 150 health over 6 seconds. That's really nothing come late game. If tails, you gain 5% movement speed for 6 seconds. You also gain 1 gold. That movement speed is stupid. And again, you know who I immediately think of?
Poseidon. You're thinking of Poseidon again.
Poseidon again. Like, this is for those, like, those masochists. Or, like, just stupid crazy. This is for all of the, like, the people who play Arena full movement speed Poseidon. And just press 2 and zoom around the map. Is this a competitively viable item? This item seems so weird.
I'm not so sure on it being competitively viable. Maybe just because, yes, it's 20% magical penetration and 80 magical power, but it's for 2,700 gold. It's an item you want to build early to get those stacks on, because it's on a god killer or assist rather than on a god killer assist or like a major jungle objective as well. The big redeeming feature of this item is the fact that you can gain 8% movement speed permanently with it. Because don't forget, before it evolves, those things are stacks, which means those are permanent. So you can gain 28 HP 5 and 8% movement speed permanently. But that's at 8 stacks. And if you are desperate, and you want the movement speed more than HP 5, by far. So if you're desperate and unlucky, you have to wait for all 8 stacks to come through before you gain that 8% movement speed. At which point, you probably know if you've won or lost the game. Because you're building this later on, because it's 2,700 gold.
Right.
I don't know. I think I like the idea of what they're doing for this. I like the fact that it's an item with 20% magical penetration on it, so it's something you can build to ramp up. I just feel like, but the item passive itself, what they're trying to go for with the design of the item, they need to bring some of the stats down and reduce the cost to make it a viable item, because it's too expensive in its current state to warrant getting that passive onto it, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree. I don't know. This item is going to be weird, and I'm excited to see more of this item. I don't know if I can talk about this. I probably can at this point, so I'm gonna risk it, I guess. What are they gonna do? Tell me to shut up and remove the video, the VOD? When I was working at Hi-Rez as an intern, I got to sit in with the esports team and work on Discordia. It was really fun. It was a really good behind-the-scenes look at it, and some of the stuff that was pitched actually got put in Discordia. But one of the things that we talked about with Discordia was to make her like a chaos mage and her to have these effects that seemingly happened at random, kind of like the coin thing. So you would inflict status effects and it would be different based off of like, not RNG mechanics, but like certain timing mechanics. So like if the seconds was on a one, it would do this, or a two, it would do this, right? So stuff like that, where it would be random, but not really random. And so that was a really cool idea that like AJ was really excited about, but it was like, how the fuck do we implement that in like a god design or something like that, right?
Yeah.
I'm really happy to see them revisit that in a way with this item, because I think it's a really cool concept and it opens the door to do more stuff like this. I loved the masks when they came out. I want items that give me a big bonus, but can also give me a negative, right? I get this big bonus, but it makes me weaker in some regards. And I like the idea of the coin. Like, I can risk buying this item. I get some good stats. I could get a really good status effect, or I can get something that's like, I barely even notice it's there. I like the idea of adding that. It's not going to be competitive, but it'll be fun to play casually. And that's important too. Like, no matter how much we love competitive Smite, we also got to remember, like, there's also an entire casual scene out there. We also just straight up removed Shaman's Ring because reasons.
Well, it's because it says right there it's mathematically weaker than Spirit of Desolation in every single category, every single way. The only thing it was better than Spirit of Desolation in was cost. That was by 100 gold. That's it. Mm. That's the only thing about Spirit of Desolation. In every other regard, you got Spirit of Desolation over Shaman's Ring, or you're an idiot. That's essentially what they removed it from the game because.
Or you were Poseidon.
Or you build both. No, Poseidon? Even if you're Poseidon, you don't get Shaman's Ring. You get Spirit of Desolation.
You know, you get Shaman's Ring because it had the movement speed. And you want to go zoom, zoom, zoom when you press the two.
They removed the movement speed from it.
Did they? Oh, yeah, then to hell with Shaman's Ring. Who cares? Moving on. Shoes of Magi. You don't buy Shoes of Magi anymore. That's what they effectively did. Decrease cost from 1600 to 1550. Remove the penetration and increase the power from 55 to 75. The penetration was literally the only reason you bought this item. Shoes of Focus is now better in every regards. You don't need the power. Power, people are going to have prots and make your power useless. So Shoes of Focus with its cooldown is better.
All right, so the shoes of the match I were called Pen Boots before. What do we call them now? Power Boots?
Power Boots. Yeah, Power Boots, Cooldown Boots, and Speedy Boy Boots. That's what they are.
All right, well, Ob Shard's next up. And it's a bit of a doozy of a change.
They added 10% magical penetration to Spell Focus and removed its passive. And then on Ob Shard, increased cost from 2300 to 2550. That'll be changed to either 2500 flat or 2600 very quickly. Because for whatever reason, they hate anything in with 50. They want it to be a flat 100. They added 20% magical penetration and reworked the passive from 15 to 45% magical penetration, depending on magical protections, to your first ability cast gains 10% magical penetration, and this can only occur once every 10 seconds. So you get 30% magical penetration when you hit somebody for the first time.
And then the other times it's still 20%. Still has, I think it's 70 magical power on the item, 2550. This is still the go-to item for penetration for mages. But it's no longer the end-all be-all of you must have this item, otherwise you're useless as a mage. You can get other items to get that damage elsewhere. You can get other penetration items. But it is worth bearing in mind that this 10% magical penetration that you get from your first cast does go over the cap which they have implemented of 40%. So if you're against an especially tanky team, you have like four mages on your side and they've built loads of magical defense, still go Obsidian Shard, you will almost need it. Because then that first ability cast, which is most likely going to be your ultimate, will be at 50% magical penetration if you've got that full percent, like full 40% stack, rather than that 40%, which could make the world a difference.
It'll, like you said, Obshard is still the number one thing, but they did add penetration to literally everything. We're about to get into the literally everything bit of the patch notes. Spear of the Magus. Increase magical power from 65 to 75. Rework passive from your damaging abilities. Reduce your target's magical protection by 10 by 4 or 5 seconds. Two, subsequent hits of the same ability deal 5% increased damage stacking 6 times. That's low-key. I think it's low-key a really good item for a very few select gods.
No, this item's dead because it's on that ability and that ability only. So, say for example, you were Anubis before, you reduce your protection with Grasping Hands, those protections would still be reduced for if you did Plague of Locusts or Death Gaze. Now, with the new Spear of the Magus, it's just on that ability. So, if you want to have your next ability still do increased damage, you have to stack it up on that ability as well. So, overall, it's a massive damage decrease on Spear of the Magus compared to what it was in Season 6.
That's fair. That's very fair. This item is dead. You're right. Pythag's Peace added 10% magical penetration because why the hell not? This item is stupid. It was already stupid. It was already a must buy for magical. It was the Blackthorn Hammer of magical. It's now better. It's just better. This is stupid. Typhon's Fang added 10% magical penetration and decreased power from 80 to 70. This item was already not bought. Penetration makes it interesting. Magical power decrease makes it uninteresting.
Those mages that wanted a bit of extra lifesteal in their build are going to build this maybe over Bancroft's Talon. Especially if they're losing a tiny bit in the early game, they might go for the extra penetration just to try and catch back up a bit. I'd like to have seen a cost decrease on this item if they were going to do this magical power decrease, but we'll have to see. There's still time in the PTS. They might still do so.
Yeah, this item, they're still trying to figure out what to do with it after they added it. It was too strong at one point, and now it's just irrelevant in every case. Soul Reaver, increased cost from 2750 to 2850. Decreased magical power from 130 to 110. And then added 10% magic penetration. They just objectively made this item worse. The pen sure is great, but decreasing the power that much is...
Well, don't forget, this item by itself will now do more damage to tanks than it did before. Because it's got 10% pen on it. So, essence, they've actually... Like, this item got slightly buffed, I think. I don't know. I'll ask Flare Boots to help me get the math on this one, because... Because
Flare Boot is quaking away. In anger.
Because it's the trade-off of taking away 20 magical power for 10% magical penetration, and there's gonna be thinking about it like logically, I can see there being a sweet spot where they have enough magical protections to make this a buff rather than a nerf. I don't know. It just seems to be like that's gonna be the case.
I think there's going to be a lot of changes come through PTS moving forward.
Yeah.
Staff of Myrdhenn added 10% magical penetration and decreased its power from 120 to 110. That's really important. Adding that 10% magical penetration and only losing 10 power. This item was iffy at best. I think this becomes a lot more relevant moving forward. But what becomes even more relevant? And what becomes, I think, almost a must-buy on a bunch of mages is Warlock Staff. Sorcerer Staff, is that the tier 2? That's the tier 2, right? Reduced base health from 175 to 100. But Warlock Staff adds 10% magical penetration. You guessed it, folks. Reduces base health from 200 to 150. and adjusted the passive from 3 plus 3 health and plus 0.5 magical power per stack for 100 stacks, 300 health and 50 magical power, to plus 1 health and plus 1 magical power per stack at 75 stacks. So 75 health and 75 magical power. You lose a lot of health,
so,
but you gain it a does bunch lose a lot of health. Power.
You gain 25 power for losing 225 health on the item. Well, not even 225 health. It's 275 with the decrease to the base health. Overall, it's changing it so it's no longer the item that every mage gets to become super tanky in the early game and unkillable. Just tries to even it out. Trying to even out this item a bit more. I don't know. I think maybe it can work out. I just want to see the evolved form do something when it evolves. Just to reward you for getting the stacks.
Evolve Warlock Staff. Due to the changes to Warlock Staff, this item now provides 140 magical power, 225 health, 200 mana, and 10% magical penetration. I think this item is going to be picked up a lot just because of that pen and the power. The health and the mana is negligible, but that power and the penetration, because it's easier to stack now at just 75 instead of the 100. I think we're going to see a lot more Warlock Staff.
Well, the fact that you could start tier 2 of it to begin the game with and then go to tier 3 immediately, you could potentially see it. Get some magical penetration online very early on and start to potentially target out the tank. It could be an effective strategy. We'll have to see.
All right. We're gonna progress quickly through the stuff that doesn't really matter and really hammer stuff that really matters. Rotatootie, 150 to 160 in power. Doesn't really move the needle at all. If they would have added pin to this item, it would be stupid, but they don't. Rotatootie still is a very expensive luxury item. Soul Gem, increased magic power from 65 to 80. I low-key think that this is going to be a major change, and we're going to see a lot more Soul Gem.
We will do.
Alpha Jackal, one-word answer. Do you agree, disagree?
To what?
Soul Gem.
I already agreed to that.
All right, cool. I didn't, you know. We've got the delay. They don't know that, but I didn't hear. Any Polynomicon, increased magic power from 75 to 85. I don't think that moves the needle. Alpha Jackal?
Nope.
Okay. Chronos Pendant, decreased cost from 2,800 to 2,700, increased magical power from 90 to 100. However, in conjunction with the Chronos Pendant, right? That's the same tree. Is Restored Artifact the same tree, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Restored Artifact, however, sees a price decrease from 1,600 to 1,400 and increases magic power from 50 to 60. I think that's going to be fucking huge because you can start with T2 Artifact and you have more power at that point and you're going to be able to go very quickly in this Chronos Pendant for your cooldown and you have more magic power. Alpha Jackal, agree, disagree?
I slightly agree, but why would I start Restored Artifact when I can just start Dynasty Platehelm? Like, why?
Also very true. Talkind's Ring increases magical power from 90 to 100, doesn't move the needle, and I already know that doesn't move the needle. Enchanted Ring added 10% attack speed and decreases 5 power. Whoop-de-doo. Demonic Grip decreases passive magical protection reduction per stack from 12 to 10. Sort of attacking mage ADCs, but we've already made mage ADCs overpowered in this patch, so who cares? Wardstone, reworked passive from enemy gods within 55 units have their magic protection reduced by 8 to enemy gods within 55 units have their magic protection reduced by 5%. I think that's really big. Voidstone continues this by changing it from 55 units have their protection reduced by 15 to they have it by 10%. This is going to be huge. This is kind of the trade-off that your aggressive supports and maybe some your solo laners are going to trade off in here. I think this is a really good change. It's a really good item.
I think this is a good change. It takes away its early game prowess and puts it more towards a later game item, which I'm all for. It stops Guardians in early game doing exuberance amounts of damage.
All right. So in a binding, decreased physical and magical reduction from 15 to 10. It's a dead item at this point.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay. new. So now we're on from we've finished all the magical. Now we're on to physical items, and we're going to be quicker on this one because there's not as much to talk about on this one. To be honest, we've got the Caduceus Shield. I don't know how they want to say it.
I think that's how it's supposed to be said. I don't know. I'll have to ask my fiance later for it.
Branches off of a warded shield cost 2,500, 30 physical power, 35 physical protection, 35 magic protection, 100 health, aura. Allied gods within 70 units have their healing increased by 10% if you've taken or dealt damage in the last 5 seconds. Their healing is increased by an additional 15%. This item is fucking broken. Not only is it broken, but it makes sustain and healing comps and Rod of Asclepius fucking broken.
It doesn't stack with Rod of Asclepius.
It doesn't. That's good news. That is great news. It's still broken.
I am terrified of Hercules in this item. I am really terrified of like doing anything to him.
You... No, do you build this on Hercules solo or Hercules support?
Hercules solo, because if anybody steps to me in lane and I get my heal off or my mitigate wounds, I'm back to full health instantly.
This item is fucking stupid. It's fucking broken. There's nothing else to be said. This item is going to be super fucking fun in PTS, and it's going to be
It's going to be amazingly fun. I can't wait.
New item, Cursed Blade, costs 1250, 75 health, 10% attack speed, and 5% movement speed. Builds into Toxic Blade, Witch Blade. It's cool. Neat. Gladiator Shield, reworked passive from only triggering watchability to subsequent heals after the first from a single ability, only heal for 50%. Does this kill the solo laner? Does this kill the King Arthur?
Not really. He can't go spinny, spinny, wow, wow, wow into the team fights, but during the laning phase, it's still good old King Arthur, good old unkillable. But yeah, during team fights, it's going to be a lot more difficult for King Arthur to sustain and be in the middle of everybody, which is a good thing. But it doesn't target his problem, and I could spend a few minutes talking about this, but I don't think we got the time.
We don't. Void Shield. Increased physical protection from 50 to 60, and reworked passive to also work like Void Shield. 55 units, reduced by 15%. Void Shield was already a fucking great item. I think this makes it better. Is this a must-buy item on Ratatasker now?
I think it's a must-buy item on pretty much most physical junglers.
Mm-hmm. Follows the same thing. 5% instead of just by 8. Silver Branch Bow increases power provided from passive from 1 to 1.5. This item is now slightly less irrelevant, but still 100% irrelevant somehow.
Yeah.
Yep. Executioner. Because fuck hunters. Fuck physical hunters. Decrease passive physical protection reduction per stack from 12% to 10%. That's just mean. Hunters were already struggling, and now we got to make them struggle more.
No, this is about making tanks feel like tanks. This is about making the support players feel good. Okay, this is change for you.
But only against hunters. This is still a fuck hunters move.
I mean, do you want hunters to, like, three-tap you? Do you? Do you want to die in the late game just to three auto-attacks?
Yeah, you're right. All right. Warrior's Bane, decrease percentage protection reduction from 15% to 10%. And Titan's Bane, decrease base physical protection reduction from 15 to 10. And decreased max physical protection reduction from 40 to 35. Again, fuck hunters. Everybody. ADCs have had it rough. Yeah. Hydra's Lament, decreased additional damage after basic attacks from 50% to 40%. Still a great item. I think it's still going to see a lot of build. This is bringing it more in line, but still super good item, and you want to build it on.
It's still super good. Fuck Loki.
Poison Star, increased physical power from 20 to 30, and Wind Demon, increased attack speed from 10% to 15%. This might see some more play. I don't think it will. The Wind Demon change makes me curious for like a crit Silver Branch Bow Apollo. And I like that would really be an interesting edge case. But overall, I don't think that moves the needle. And I don't think these two items see widespread adoption.
You want to know what I remember? I remember hunters building, I think it was Death's Toll at the time. Was the Hunter Star Rising? Tier 1 of Poison Star, and then rushing Poison Star because it was so good, and they had to reduce the, you know, power and attack speed reduction from it, as well as the power initially on the item. They're half reverting that change. Do we see Poison Star come back as a, like, a first build item? Maybe on certain gods? Maybe not. I don't think. 30 power is just a bit too low, I think.
Yeah. Malice now provides 10% cooldown reduction. Cool!
I like
still
it.
An edge case. Still an edge case. Doesn't really move the needle a ton. If you're going to go crit, you're already going to probably get malice on certain gods. So, and I think it still just kind of fits in that same niche. Soul Eater. When this item evolves, it now provides an additional 5% physical lifesteal in addition to the physical power and the ability lifesteal effect. Neat.
Cool.
I think this makes a Data Remembers Sun Wukong ADC a little bit broken, and it was already kind of good.
Yeah.
Moving on, we've got the masks. Lonos mask, damage dealt, decreased damage dealt from 25% to 20, decreased healing done from 25 to 20. Okay, cool, decent, doesn't really do anything. Lonos is still, I hate that those two things are stacked, and I think the item is still pretty much dead.
No, I think it's going to try and pave the way for assassin supports to come back in, because going down from 20 to 25% is kind of what killed off the assassin supports building this item. Maybe with the new season and the changes to the season, they feel like it's safe enough to bring it back up, but who knows? We'll have to see. But have a look out for Fenrir and Nashor supports being tested again with new Lona's mask coming back.
Fighter's mask, remove the 10 pen, increase physical power from 20 to 30, and increase magic power from 50 to 60. Cool. Neat. Rangda's mask, remove 15 penetration and increase physical power from 35 to 50 and increase magic power from 70 to 85. Well, you're going to see Ragnar's mask at a lot more in casuals, and that's about it, I feel like.
No. It's a worse item. Like, what do you do? Okay, is there a way to have, like, a funeral for a funeral? You know, is there a way to have, like, a... Like, this item's dead, it's then died again. Is there a way to have, like... You know, the underworld have a funeral for it. So it's like an underworld for the underworld or something.
I love it. All right, we're super rapid fire. We're gonna wrap this up in 8 minutes, and we've got gods to talk about.
8 minutes.
Odin. Oof. Odin full ability rework on his 3. Does Odin become more viable here?
Yes, he does. Not because of Gungir's might ability rework, but because of his Ring of Spears ability rework. The fact that you will take damage if you don't break down the stacks, and the fact you have to take time to take down the stacks. I'd like to see them put the duration back up to like 5, maybe even 6 seconds across the board for his ultimate. But I think Odin is going to see more play because of this. It's a good rework.
I still would have loved to see them commit to the 2 augmenting the rest of his kit. So you have 2 and 1 is a bird bomb. 2 and 3, I feel like you could have done like a root or something along those lines to debuff a attack debuff or physical, something along those lines. And then your ultimate, if you use your 2 and then your ult, it has like a dome so people can't jump out. That's what I would have loved to see. Obviously, they go a little bit different direction with you can break it, but then you're going to take damage if you walk out. Odin, I think we'll see more play. I think Odin will still fall off based off of the changes here.
Just correct what you said, sorry. If you break down the walls and then leave through that broken wall, you take no damage. Because if you leave with Phantom or Leap Away, that's going to take the damage.
Gotcha. Cool. I think Odin, basically, if you're getting any of the carries or anything like that, they're just going to break your thing and leave. Bastet, new passive. I'm really excited to see how that works with invisible targets. She marks people and sees there's a trail that gets left behind. And she gains movement speed while on the scent trail. I'm imagining it's going to be something similar to the webs from Arachne. And I wonder how that, like, what does the invisible target look like when it's used? Razor Whip B is the big change here, because I don't understand the Guardians of the Bast and then Staring Claw, because I didn't watch patch notes and I don't know effectively what it looks like. But Razor Whip is now an instant cone. That's going to be huge.
I think that's a big thing. And To go for the passive, I think 3 seconds is a bit too short for the 20% movement speed increase. I'd like to see that bumped up to 4, maybe even 5 seconds if Bastet still underperforms. So, considering you didn't watch the patch notes, I'll quickly go over it in Ensnaring Claw and Guardian of Bast. So, in Ensnaring Claw, it's no longer the declaw ability where she throws out something and like slows you for a bit. Instead, she throws out a cat in the same manner. The cat will provide a root to the if she hits an enemy god with it. And it will still act as the cats did before. You can kill the cats by basic attacking them twice. So Zhonghui is still ridiculously good against Bastet, even more so now, because just instant kills the cat. Guardian of Bast is her new ultimate. What she does is she summons two guardians of Bast to her side, like the cats you see on the Sphinx, pretty much. And these will augment her other abilities. They will follow around Bastet, assisting her in any ability that she casts. So if she jumps, there's then 3 circles which will deal damage. If she does her Razor Whip, there's 3 cones that will deal damage. And instead of sending out 1 cat, she sends out 3 cats. And this is a stim that will last for 12 seconds. And as you can see, the damage that these cats deal is a percent damage of what Bastet deals. And they will increase in the amount of percent damage they deal the higher rank her ultimate.
Seems good. I like Bastet. Buy Bastet stock for season 7. Yes. Achilles nerf. They decrease his physical power buff. Good. Fuck Achilles. He's just too strong. Artemis.
Still strong.
Buff. Increased physical power scaling 40 to 60. Cool. She's still too slow in the early game and she's going to get blown up and you're not going to be able to make Artemis.
Maybe with Duelane back, she could theorize. Who knows?
Baron Psalmody, Vivid Gaze, increased base damage from 60 to 80, basically, and that's really all you get. I don't think that moves the needle enough for Baron to be good.
No, you level up his heal anyway.
Cucullin, Berserk, increased power per level from 2 to 3, and Spear of Mortal Pain, increased rage gain per god hit from 16 to 26. That's basically reverting the nerf they did to him and makes him viable. Because when you ult and you hit 4 people, you transform, right? I think the math is right.
Yeah, I think this combined with the solo lane changes makes him a must pick in solo lane to begin with.
All right, Freya, Brisingamen's Blessing, decreased magic lifesteal from 15% to 10% plus 0.25% per level, capping at 15%. That's a lot of math and a lot of decimals and things. Eh?
All bow down for Freya. Still, all bow down. All right.
Guan Yu, he attacks faster, 0.9 to 1.2, and increased mana per level from 35 to 39. Woo! Guan Yu still eh? Hades, I really like this change. Base HP from 450 to 475, and increased HP per level from 80 to 85. Pillar of Agony, this ability now provides Hades 10% damage mitigation at all ranks in addition to the protections he gains. This doesn't make Hades a must pick, but I think it makes him viable. Do you agree?
It makes him worth considering. He's now one beefy boy in his ult.
Hell yeah. Heimdallr, the Vigilant, decreased physical power scaling per stack from 3% to 2%. Decreased physical power scaling from 95 to 85. And through the realms, decreased initial hit physical power scaling from 110 to 90. Heimdallr is not as OP as he was. I still feel like he is very strong, and you still pick him whenever you can.
Yes, he is still ridiculously strong, and if you've mastered the art of using the Bifrost, he is a must pick.
All right. Isis, Wing Gust, decreased damage from 35 to 115 to 30 to 110. Decreased magic power scaling from 40 to 35% of your magic power per hit. Decent nerf, doesn't bring her down all the way, just the way that her shield and ult works. Still very good pick, especially even if she drops off her mid, she's a must pick in support if you can grab it.
I think this is a good change. Decreases her prowess in the early game through the mid lane. Gives her your opportunity to try and shut her down and put her behind.
Yep. Izanami, basic attacks, increase return projectile damage from 25% to 35%, spectral projection, reduce cooldown from 16 to 12 to 14 to 12. According to somebody's tweet in the Smite community, Izanami is just mathematically better than every hunter if you hit your autos. I don't think it makes the difference. I think Izanami needs a rework on her three to ever be viable.
I think this change actually makes a really strong, that extra 10% scaling on the return projectile damage. You out trade more effectively than anybody else. You take towers
if
more
you hit both
than anybody else,
which is still hard to do.
It's still hard to do, but it also means you clear way faster than most other people, more so than before. And I do notice the time as well. So let's just keep
right. But Izanami still doesn't. Izanami still loses to a mage. So yeah, you clear wave super fast as Izanami, and then they just have the tyrannical plate helm, and you've given them 30 power.
Izanami still an ADC, still needs to be played in the dual lane. Could be viable given you get more for pushing out the enemy dual lane. Who knows? On to Jingwei.
Jingwei! Decreased movement speed buff from 20 to 15% from agility, and a decreased air movement speed buff from 30 to 25. Airstrike decreased landing range from 55 to 45. Definitely makes her less safe and less just less safe to get away from things. Still think she's a very good pick and is still...
She still covers so much distance with her mobility.
Yeah. All right. Nemesis. They increase Swift Vengeance's power scaling from 30 to 35. If I may quote what I said about Guan Yu, woo! Doesn't do anything for Nemesis.
That's not really now.
Nike. Increase base HP 5 from 7 to 10. Cool. Rend increased damage from 50 to 170 to 60 to 180. And barrier formation increased refire damage from 65 to 285 from 85 to 305. That is actually might be decent buff, and we might see Nike played a little bit more. But the big change here for the physical hunters is Rama increases base movement speed from 365 to 370. And now Astral Quiver. He starts the match and respawns from death with a full quiver of arrows. Astral Barrage has decreased mana ranks to be 80 at all ranks. Rama shoots up the tier list based off of these changes alone. But again, mages are just better as ADCs right now. So it'll be interesting to see how Rama stacks up with item changes and everything.
I do want to end on Sir Kett. So let's just skip over Sir Kett for now. We'll go to Sun Wukong and Thor because their changes are a bit more minor.
All right. Sun Wukong, Master's Will. This ability now applies an attack speed slow along with a movement speed slow.
It doesn't even say how much the slow is. Like, what?
Yeah, but it applies one. A Somersault Cloud increases damage from 200 to 400 to 200 to 500. Sun Wukong creeping back up. Sun Wukong's already good, and he got buffed.
Yeah.
So I think Sun Wukong is going to be a really good solo pick. And now that Awesome Jake is in the SPL, going to be a really good support pick. Thor. Oh, yeah. Anvil of Dawn increased cooldown from 90 seconds to 110 to 90 seconds. Decent, but doesn't really kill off Thor. Thor's still really good.
No, Thor's still really, really strong.
And last, we've got good old Sir Kett. Deathbane decreased damage from 60 to 140 to 50 to 130. And Last Breath decreased damage and added physical power scaling. 180 to 660 to 140 to 500 plus 55% of your physical power, and you still do true damage. Am I wrong? Or in this nerf, did they buff Sir Kett?
No, they did not. They explained this on the patch notes, and they said in order to deal more damage with Sir Kett, you have to build at least, I think it was 350 physical power. So you have to commit to a full damage Sir Kett build to deal more damage with Last Breath. Otherwise, you are dealing less damage with it. They have nerfed Sir Kett across the board. I am so happy. Support Sir Kett is dead. She is dead. She is gone. She's out of here. No more support Sir Kett. I like this. I like this a lot.
See, I disagree. I don't think it's dead because Sir Kett, you're still doing true damage. You're not doing as much, sure. But you're still offering control. You're grabbing somebody. You're either getting beads, and then you're applying anti-heal, right? I don't think this kills the Sir Kett support. I just think it makes Sir Kett jungle really fucking good. And it's gonna, like, they're gonna revert this change or change it somehow. Because this makes jungles, this buffs jungle circuit and nerfs.
Yeah, but you have to circuit, build,
but it doesn't really.
Hell ever. You have to build a hell of a lot of physical power in order to make it a buff. Otherwise, it's such a straight up nerf. And a circuit, you still want to build some protections because you're in the middle of everybody throughout the entire fight, especially when you're casting your ultimate. You're going to be on top of someone who can freely attack you for like 1 or 2 seconds.
But you grab a void shield, and that's a much better item. And then I don't know. Well, it'll be interesting. I don't think this moves Circuit away from support. It does. It moves Circuit away from support and into jungle firmly. Because if you have the choice, I'm like, I think you still ban Circuit because you don't want it in the jungle. And that's what this does. It raises her up the tier list and makes her bannable. Like, a lot in the first phase.
I do think it takes away from you must ban Circuit because she's a good support to you could ban Circuit because she's a good flex pick now. I think it balances out the disparity between the two roles that she plays.
All right. We've reached the end of the patch notes. Alpha Jackal, what is your favorite change that you're most excited for in Season 7?
My favorite change? Ooh. I'm excited for Sun Wukong. I want to see more Sun Wukong because I think he's a good god, and this attack speed slow is going to be very interesting to see how it applies, especially considering they didn't give us the attack speed slow number.
Okay. I am most excited to abuse the fuck out of either the Caduceus shield or the tyrannical plate helm in PTS and get it changed. That is what I'm most excited for. All right, that's it. We're done. This show is over. It's gone too long. Thank you, Alpha Jackal, for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. Love having you on anytime I can. Thanks, everybody, for watching. That's it for Around the Battleground. Next week, I think we're going to have an interview with Kurt Weekend Shrey. And that'll be a fun time. I always love talking to him. And we'll get his very candid opinions on whether Smite pros should be solely responsible for making Smite content. Here's looking at you, Taco. And I will see you next time around the battleground. Goodbye, everybody.